Hey, good morning, Asbury family. This is Pastor Tom Carver, Senior Pastor at the Asbury United Methodist Church, coming to you on Facebook Live here in the sanctuary. It is the week before Easter, and this is a crucial time for our world and our nation. And so we're glad that you're taking the time to worship here with us. I want to share just a few things, what's happening here. I'm live in the sanctuary. Gail Hale is running our PowerPoint and our camera. Gail, can you say hi? There it is. Okay. And Mike Brand is also running the soundboard. And so Mike is here, and he's going to be watching the comments coming in. So if there's prayer concerns or things throughout the service, put those in and start putting those in now, because there is a delay from what you type in there and what comes out by the time it gets to us. Also, Pastor Heather Dorr is at home, and she's manning the online presence, and so you might see her putting text putting messages up in the message box. Greet her, greet each other. Again, last few weeks, it's been kind of cool to see how people have connected with each other, see who's online worshiping with each other, even though we're not together in one place. We certainly are together in the Lord and connecting in a new and what we're finding to be pretty powerful way. So a blessed morning to all of you and to Pastor Heather out there. We're going to hear from her in just a little bit. Our worship service today, she's pre-recorded the sermon for today. Still using the themes that we've been using as we've been going through the study book, Entering the Passion of Jesus by Amy Jill Levine. And she taped it in her backyard. You'll see her a little bit later. Also, she's got a children's message. And so, children, be ready. Pastor Heather will also have a children's message later on during this service. Also, there'll be a time, you can always make offerings to the church. We'll have information at the end. You can go to our webpage, click way down to the bottom, and see there the place where you can make an online donation. You can mail out or mail in a check or so on. And you would have gotten, or you might have gotten in the mail, a mailing this week. And it has our schedule for Holy Week. This is the beginning of Holy Week. And you'll see on there, it'll all be on our webpage and the Facebook page as well. But this is just to be sure we cover everybody. On Thursday night will be our Maundy Thursday. And the Seder meal, the observance of Passover, has always been meant to be celebrated in the home. Jewish families, for thousands of years, have observed Passover in their home, retelling the story of the Exodus and Moses leading the people out of slavery. And so that's what we're going to encourage you to do as well. You'll see that on the letter, on the back of it, there is information about make it a fun meal, make it a good meal, make it a fancy meal, make it special in some way. And then read the scripture of Jesus sharing that meal with his disciples. And then Pastor Heather put together some questions that you can talk about with the people that you're with. But also think about somebody that you can maybe call and isn't with a family or somehow disconnected. Call them and talk with them about those questions too on Thursday night. So that's how we'll observe Maundy Thursday this week. And then Good Friday will be on, it'll be on Friday this week. So we'll have a 7 o'clock Facebook live broadcast. Again, it will be observance like we often do, a tenebrae service, a service of darkness. Members of the congregation will be reading the scriptures, telling the story from their homes. And you'll be able to see that, share in the scripture, but also it'll be good to see different people of our church reading the scriptures, telling the story. A reminder, if you have a candle in your home where you're at, you can light the candle during the service, and then at the end of it, it'll be a time to extinguish the candle and remember Jesus' death upon the cross. This week, it's how ironic that we're experiencing the Holy Week now and getting a sense of Jesus going through the most difficult week of his life. And yet, next week, we'll be together again and celebrate a resurrection and celebrate the hope of new life. So next week for Easter Sunday, we're going to maintain our schedule. We'll be here live at 11 o'clock. So be sure to check in with us next week to celebrate Easter and the resurrection, praise God, of Jesus and the hope that we have. So other things happening in the life of our church, again, the Zoom meetings are continuing. You can call the church office. We can help set you up with a Zoom meeting. Pastor Heather's been working on children's time each week, so you can make note of that. Always be checking our Facebook page and our church webpage, jesusisthebridge.org, and you will see the latest news happening of the church. Also going to send out information to you about this week's update that has ways that you can prepare a meal and get it to one of the homeless shelters. And also if you are able to sew some of the surgical masks, or not the surgical masks, but the personal masks to kind of prevent the spread of disease. You've seen that the nation CDCs are recommending that everybody wear those in public, but certainly to have them available for our hospital and healthcare professionals as a backup or an addition to the other approved masks that they might use. There'll be information about that. You can be sewing those at home. And one of the things that you need to know that we are connected as a church here in Bettendorf with our mayor, our county officials, and we've got a message from our Mayor Gallagher that he has prepared for us, for you. All the faith-based, the congregations, the communities, the faith-based community here in Bettendorf. And so I want to give Mayor Gallagher a chance to give you a word of appreciation. So I think Mike and Gail, we're ready. Can we do that video with Mayor Gallagher? Okay. First, here's an announcement. Mike is up in the booth, and Mike's got something to add. Go ahead, Mike. Okay, so hang in there, keep praying, and let's see now what Mayor Gallagher has for us.
Hi, I'm Mayor Bob Gallagher of the city of Bettendorf, Iowa. Today is Friday, April 3rd, 2020. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the faith-based community for your hard work during this COVID-19 pandemic. Your support to our community is invaluable. During this crisis, you have brought and will continue to bring a positive message of hope. Your parishioners have proven and will continue to prove that they are community volunteers who want to help others. You have stepped up to ensure that the needs of your congregation and those around your church family are met. I'm so pleased that our entire faith-based community has organized to ensure all of the members of our community are safe and cared for. This coordinated effort of communication and collaboration between city government and the Bettendorf faith-based community, including our weekly online meetings to share status updates and community needs, has meant the world to me and our city staff. I know that you are all ready to help our entire region get through this crisis together. Thanks so much for all you have done and for that which you will be asked to do in the coming weeks. Please know that we are all in this together. Please continue to stay 6 feet apart and symptom-free. Thank you.
Okay, we sure appreciate Mayor Gallagher, all the mayors in the Quad City areas. You need to know that they are working together, and we're tied into that. One of the things I encourage you to do is go to our webpage and watch the video. It's on the Facebook page, too, the training video for the congregation. That really shows how the government has put in this NIMS, National Incident Management System, and then we in the faith-based community need to tie into that so that the help that we offer is coordinated and there's communication and it's most effective, and we do play a part, beginning with staying home and taking care of ourselves. One of the things that Mayor Gallagher said at our weekly meeting with all the clergy leaders in Bettendorf, he said, we got to get the message out for people to take this seriously. They're not keeping their distance. They're not social practicing that. And there's clear word that it's coming. So, if I can just encourage you to really set the example, might think of it if it's a 1% mortality rate. We've got 500 people in our church. You just do the math. And so what we're looking at, though, is instead of it being 5 people, I mean, that it could be 10 or 15. And what we're doing now actually can help save lives in this most critical time. So with that, oh my goodness, we need God's guidance and prayer, or God's guidance and hope, and that's certainly what we have. And we can face this day knowing that we're prepared, we're ready as best we can be, beginning with a hope in Jesus to see us through no matter what. Well, I want to then, let's begin our time of worship. You'll note that we're doing things a little bit different with the music. We'll share prayer concerns later on, but Michael Reese is not with us today. His father, Robert, passed away early Saturday morning. So he's caring for his family. And Gail Baldwin has been with us previously, and you know, we really thought, you know, Gail, you need to stay home. And so Gail is at home as well today. So it's just the three of us here in the sanctuary. We're practicing our social distancing, as we hope that you are too. So as we're ready to worship, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you in this hour that you have called us, that you are with us, and that there is hope. We pray now that you would open our hearts to your Spirit as you connect us to you and connect us to all those who are worshiping here and around the world. For on this day, when we look to you and what you did that week before Easter, we're just praying for your guidance now as we face this day with confidence, with hope, and even joy. For I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, now here's a little bit unique situation that we find ourselves in here at the Asbury Church, because at the very beginning of Lent on March the 1st, the first Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday back then. We've been studying, using a resource, Entering the Passion of Jesus by Amy Jill Levine. And each week there are different themes and scripture readings that took us through that Holy Week with Jesus, which began with Palm Sunday. So as a way to coincide our worship themes and experiences and scriptures with that study, we celebrated Palm Sunday back on March 1st. And so just to give you a reminder of that, so the rest of the world or people who weren't able to be with us on that day, this is Palm Sunday for everyone. Take a look at this and let's remember what we did just a few weeks ago. Well, who'd have dreamed we'd be able to make use of that? So I actually have a little bit of Palm Sunday today that we've celebrated this year and have an opportunity to do that. Also, we want to give you time now to just praise God and prepare our hearts as we continue to worship. That same day, I have a video remembrance of the praise team, our later praise team that shared with a song, At the Cross. And there will be a prayer that Michael will offer. Again, this won't be live. This is taped from March the 1st. But there will be a prayer that Michael will offer in light of that observance and Palm Sunday, as we're mentioning it then. And so you'll be invited to pray along with him at home when it's appropriate. And the words will be on the screen. So take this time now to worship, to praise God as we hear from our praise team at the cross. When I fail.
was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You go before me. You shield my way.
The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet your triumphal entry into Duluth was on the back of a humble donkey. You risked your reputation to show us the power of meekness and humility. Help me to set aside my privileges and invite others to join in the celebration of your great name, Jesus. Amen. And when the earth fades, falls from my eyes, and you stand before me, I know you love me. I know. Shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? You tore the veil. You made a way. When you said, tore the veil, you made a way. When you said that it is
done. Okay, I want to share our scripture reading this morning, and remember where we've been. Actually, first of all, we've been getting word that there was some, didn't hear Michael when he spoke earlier. And just to alert you, we've been working on that. And Michael, can you give that a try now? And let's see if...
Yeah, we'll see how this works. It's terrible when the sound guy forgets to turn on his own microphone to make an announcement. But for all of you that are having problems with the video, that's a known issue. The church's internet connection is having some struggles. So the technology is doing the best it can under the circumstances, and we're going to have somebody try to maintenance that this week. So bear with us. We'll get worship to you as best we can.
Okay, thanks, Mike. So a reminder, too, if you are do have some prayer concerns, start sending those to Mike, because we'll or put them on the Facebook or on the comments things. I do have my phone, those of you that know my number, but it's really distracting if I read that, too. But it is such, if need be, I can share those. We'll be sharing prayer concerns in a little bit, though. And there's that delay from when you do it to when we receive it. But it is here. We're connected. We know you're out there, and we praise God that you are. So to read the scripture reading, again, I want to remind us where we've been through this season of Lent. We started March 1st with Palm Sunday. We've remembered that. We remembered how Jesus then came into Jerusalem. He overturned the tables of the money changers. He risked that righteous anger. There was the risk of challenge when the scribes and Pharisees were questioning his authority, trying to trip him up about you pay taxes or not, trying to divide Jesus between the authorities and the Jewish folks. There was that risk of reputation. In the First Supper, when Jesus was with the group and an unnamed woman came up and anointed Jesus with oil and demonstrated care for his body, and we realized how much Jesus was saying, you know, that simple anonymous gift will be remembered for all time, that what we do for others, even the small things, is important. Last week, we remembered the Last Supper and the risk of losing friends. And, you know, even though we're online, we're looking forward to that time. We can share it in person again together. But we were called to that Last Supper. And so today, Pastor Heather is going to be talking about the risk of temptation and actually traveling now to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus with his disciples on that night before he was taken to be killed. So the scripture, though, I want to read is Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that underneath all of this, we maintain the hope of the resurrection and the promise that even in death, there is life. And we know that story. That's kind of the foundation that we can tell all these stories. It's the looking glass, the lens through which we can bear this week, because we know Easter will be here. We know there'll be a resurrection, and that gives us the strength to hope, to hold on even in those darkest times. Now, here in this letter, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's explaining to them about the resurrection of the dead and what that would be like. And so if you've got your Bibles at home, I'm going to read chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start at verse 20, and I'm going to read through 28. So if you want to read along with me again, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that this does not include the one who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who put all things in subjection under him, so that God may be all in all. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, now that the kids are around, Pastor Heather's got a children's sermon that she also recorded earlier from her home. And so let's hear it now from Pastor Heather.
Good morning. This is Pastor Heather, and I wanted to share a children's message for you this morning. So if your kids are in the other room, or not paying attention, come closer to the screen, and I want to talk about something. You might recognize that I'm in my son's room right now. This is where I've been taping our weekly story times on Facebook Live. Last night, I shared a movie clip on our Facebook page from a movie called Inside Out. It's a Pixar film, and it's a favorite around my household. You can watch it on Disney Plus if you have that streaming service. And it's a great lesson about our emotions. So if you haven't seen the film before, I wanted to share who these characters are. The main character in the movie is a little girl named Riley, and she's going through a big change in her life. And so we get to see inside of her mind, and we see Joy, who pretty much runs the show for Riley. She feels a lot of joy a lot of times, but also fear and anger and sadness and disgust. And we see how these emotions all live in her mind and how they are part of how she interacts with the world. And so if you watch that clip that I put on Facebook earlier, you'll see a scene where something really sad happens to a character, and Joy doesn't really know what to do. Joy's response is to tickle him or make him laugh, and it just doesn't make him feel any better. Whereas Sadness really does know what to do, when she just sits down next to him and she says, "That's tough. That's really sad." And she listens to him. And that's what helps him get through a loss that he's just had. And so the great lesson, I think, in this movie, in that scene and throughout the movie, is that sometimes when things are really tough and we're going through a lot of difficulty, we might turn to joy, and we might pretend like everything is okay and make the best out of situations. But it's really good and really important to acknowledge that as we're in our homes, as we're seeing things shut down and canceled, we might be angry. Especially if everybody in your house is driving each other nuts, you might be angry. Or you might be scared that your family might get sick or what might happen. You might be sad because you can't go spend time with your friends. And an important lesson is that you can feel however you need to feel. You don't have to pretend to feel better than you really are. You can be honest with your family. And I encourage you to spend some time this week talking about your feelings, maybe even watching this movie if you have access to it. And recognizing that a major point in the story is that there was a time when the main character Riley felt sad. And she shared how she was really feeling. And because she felt sad, her parents hugged her and they said, "We feel sad too." And there was joy in that time together of being sad together. So I wanna let you know that however you're feeling while we're all in quarantine, while we're all waiting to see what happens next and trying to survive the day and the week, you can feel however you wanna feel. And know that the most important thing is just to be honest about your feelings and to share your feelings with other people, because ultimately that leads to a real joy that we can't quite understand, but we're happy to receive. Nice to spend time with you kids this morning. And I pray for all of these feelings, and maybe especially for joy, to be with you today. Goodbye.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that video out. And that looks like a fun one, a good one, and some good lessons there. Thank you, Pastor Heather. Hey, we want to be in prayer now. And Mike Brand is up, and he's been writing down the prayer concerns as they've been coming up on the screen. And so what we're going to do, and Mike, I think we've got those issues figured out. Go ahead. You're there.
Yeah, you just want me to read through the entire set here?
Well, here's what we'll do. I'm going to start the prayer, and just as part of our prayer, instead of like Mike repeating in them, and then I repeat them and try to write them down and remember them, and just, again, appreciation as they're coming in, we may not get them all, just be aware that we're still praying for you. So I'm going to start, I'm going to do two, Mike, and then just in that pattern, I'll just invite you to do the same thing. You can kind of read them, just give a pause so we can pray, and then when you're done, give me the sign, and I'll offer a few words, and then we'll do the Lord's Prayer together. The words will be there on the screen. So first of all, let's bring our hearts to God. I'll offer a couple prayer concerns. Mike will offer them. You offer them in your own heart as we go. Then we'll join in the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come to you now with a heavy heart for many. And there's sadness and there's hurt all across this land. But there's also joy and thanksgiving. Families who've been together that more than perhaps they have in a long, long time. And through all of it, we just pray for your grace and your strength and the hope that we have in Jesus to endure. As we draw closer to you, we want to draw closer to one another. And we want to share these concerns, as you already know them, but with each other so that we can be in prayer. So I pray for Michael Reese and his family as his father, Robert, passed away early Saturday morning. Also pray for John and Jenny Sankson, who this week are moving to Virginia.
We also want to offer joys for birthdays and births this week. Lonnie and Nellie Fisher welcomed a new granddaughter on March 31st. Delia Erickson turned 15 on March 30th. Cindy Gipple's daughter, Stephanie, turned 36 on the 4th. Ken and Linda Jones have their 53rd anniversary coming up on April 8th. Congratulations. The Hendershots this week welcome their second great-grandchild, Mia Rose. And then we also have a number of concerns. Prayers for our teachers and our educators as they figure out a way to go forward to educate our children through this time. Ralph Otteson has a scouting friend at Trinity Rock Island that is diagnosed with COVID-19 and is under heavy sedation, but for now is holding his own. And Marion and Phil Paulson's daughter and son-in-law are currently under quarantine due to exposure to the COVID virus. Their son-in-law is an EMT who had a couple of transports this week that were COVID positive.
Dear God, you know all of this already, but it's good for us to know it too, so that we can love each other and support each other. We do pray for your healing, your hope, your strength for our families, the loved ones, and for this world. And we trust that you will see us through. We know this because of Jesus, and we pray together the Lord's Prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, just as a way to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us, and I heard Ken's mention, Ken, you're going to be surprised that you're singing next with this quartet, a men's group that actually did this last summer, but Paul DeCamp and Tom Howard, Ken Jones, and one other person that I'll remember and I'll tell you when we're done. So let's listen to this men's quartet from the church.
Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Amazing grace, so vast and yet so free. The Son of God, the righteous one, is crucified for me. Though many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me. Shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amazing grace, so vast and yet so free. The Son of God, the righteous one.
Okay, those fellas didn't know they were going to sing. And how could I forget Don Mitchum? And then Deb DeCampa playing that. Again, that was last summer, but sure appreciate their talents. Our sermon now, Pastor Heather has got something that she's recorded from her backyard. She's social distancing. She's staying at home, as she should be, and she's online with us now. So she actually gets to hear herself preach. And I know she'll enjoy that just as I have, if I've heard this previously, and you will too. So let's listen now to Pastor Heather.
Greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Heather coming at you on Wednesday afternoon. I am in my backyard, and I'm sharing the Word of God with you this morning on Sunday morning. I'm so excited to be able to connect with you this morning. And like many of you, I'm missing our regular worship in the sanctuary and looking forward to the day when we can be gathered together as a community in one location. This morning, we are coming to the end of the six-week season of Lent. It's been 6 weeks since we started off entering the Passion of Jesus by Dr. Amy Jill Levine with Palm Sunday. I was just reflecting a few nights ago that when we started this sermon series, we decided to start with Palm Sunday. And at the time, it felt like a really risky thing to do. Doing something that was so different by starting Lent with Palm Sunday. At this time, I'm seeing so many of my friends that were trying to figure out what they were gonna do today and how to make Palm Sunday special. And I was actually really grateful that we did something so different. So we still had our celebration with palms and singing Hosanna together as a community. And I'm glad that we got to have that chance this year, because otherwise we would not have. And in fact, as I was thinking about it, I was just thinking about how long ago Palm Sunday feels. It feels like a whole lifetime ago. And in fact, as we've been going through our series and going through Jesus's last week of ministry in Jerusalem, that too, although it was only 1 week, must have felt like so many things happened that changed the world and changed the disciples' lives. And we too know about how a few days can make such a difference in our outlook and in the way that we live our life. The disciples in their final week were traveling with Jesus from Palm Sunday to Jesus preaching in the temple, overturning tables and preaching of love of neighbor. Jesus being anointed at the first dinner, and Jesus talking about sacrifice and sharing a meal at the Last Supper. So today brings us to the sixth and final chapter of our book, and we are now talking about Jesus in the garden. So the scripture that I wanted to share this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark. We are in chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated, and said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, he went and prayed, saying the same words. And once more, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. We are entering into a very unique Holy Week in this world. A Holy Week unlike anything that we have ever seen before in our lifetime. A Holy Week that in and of itself sort of feels like the most holy week we've ever experienced. This time in self-isolation and social distancing and quarantine is a time filled with fear and trembling. In fact, I've never related more to Jesus coming into the garden and preparing for death to come, preparing for the sorrow and the sacrifice to come. I think maybe we especially feel that way in the Midwest as we hear about death tolls and disease numbers on the coasts and in extreme hotspots all around the world. Here in the Midwest, we're waiting for that tidal wave to rush upon us. And we too might be praying the same words of Jesus. "If it is possible, let this cup pass by me. If it is possible, let this cup pass by my family, my community, my church." Just like Jesus praying in Gethsemane, we are in the quiet before the storm. And so I think we can look at Jesus and ask what he did, what he knew that something difficult was about to happen. And his response was to pray. The prayer he shared, actually, that we read in Mark's gospel is one of the most powerful prayers, I think, in all of Scripture. "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." If you can think all the way back to the beginning of February, we started a sermon series on the heart of prayer, and that was One of the very first scriptures that we looked about when we talked about prayer, we looked at Jesus praying in the garden, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." Throughout February, we talked about prayer, about it being a relationship. We talked about dwelling in prayer and being better at prayer and trying new ways and really disciplining ourselves. And so I think now as we come to the end of our next series, we can learn two important lessons about prayer from Jesus here in the garden, as Dr. Amy Jill Levine points out. The first thing that she points out is, she says in her book, "Here we see the importance of prayer, even when we know the answer will be no." Here we see the importance of prayer, even when we know the answer will be no. Even when we know that the disease is coming to us, even when we know that the virus may impact us and those that we love, that doesn't mean we don't pray, even if we're not sure of the outcome. The second thing that Dr. Levine lifted up was that it is important to pray for ourselves. Sometimes we feel like we should be praying for other people. We should be praying for the big world situations, and we can be reluctant to pray for ourselves. But we see here in the example of Jesus that though he spent a lot of time praying for others and praying for the world and those he was serving, he was also okay with asking God to bless him and reaching out to God and praying for himself and his own journey. So I think we can take that lesson while we're in this time of history, that it is okay to pray for ourselves. It's wonderful to pray for our leaders, for doctors and nurses, and for those putting themselves on the front line and caring for others. But we can also pray for ourselves, for peace and for protection and for wisdom. In our scripture lesson for today, Peter and James and John are in the garden with Jesus. They were among the first that Jesus called to follow him, and the last three that are with him in the quiet before the storm. Whenever I read this story, my heart breaks a little bit for these disciples and for the way that they fall asleep on the job. Another thing that's powerful to me about this story is it demonstrates that Jesus intentionally brought his three friends to be with him, which shows me that he was desperate for companionship. Even as perhaps he felt alone in the midst of truly knowing what was to come, he wanted others by his side. He reached out to three of those who had been with him since the beginning and asked for their companionship, asked for their prayers, asked for their presence. And I think it shows us that Jesus too longed for community. This may have been the loneliest that Jesus ever felt, and for many of us, this may be the loneliest that we have ever felt. Isolated from our community, isolated from being able to be physically present with one another. And so Jesus knew how that felt, and he reached out and asked his friends to be with him. Unfortunately, his friends and his disciples were not able to be with him as he had hoped. They failed. So many of the stories in Scripture tell us of humanity failing, of not living up to our expectations, of not living up to all that we're able to be and failing. That's the story of humanity. That's a major story of Holy Week and why Christ came to be among us and save us. So I wanted to hope that you see in the story that your own failures in the midst of this time in history, in the midst of the coronavirus, you may fail. You may have already failed. You may have already made mistakes by being too scared and closing up too much in your home, or by not being scared enough, and by being out and having too much contact with others. You may make mistakes along the way. None of us knows exactly how to do all of this self-isolation and social distancing. None of us are going to get it right all the time. And yet we know that Jesus offered his friends grace and mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus thankfully offers the same thing to us as well. But I think that though we must give ourselves grace and recognize that we're going to fail and we're going to make mistakes and we must forgive one another, we can learn from the mistakes of the disciples and we could try to rectify what they got wrong. All season long, we've been going through this book, Entering the Passion of Jesus. And as we come to the end of the series, I wanted to sit down and think, what does passion mean? In our normal vernacular, we think of passion as having intense feelings and perhaps love and longing for one another. But the old meaning of passion is really to endure, to suffer. Passion means, deeper than that, a willingness to suffer for what you love. And so when we enter into the passion of Jesus, we're entering into the suffering that he undertook in his final days on earth. And I think for me, and hopefully for you too, we can be challenged by the passion to step in where the disciples could not, and to offer compassion to other people. The prefix come meaning with, so compassion, suffering alongside others, being willing to sit and endure with others. Even when we're far away, even when we're social distancing, keeping 6 feet between us, talking screen to screen rather than face to face, this can still be a time of deep compassion and deep sitting with other people and praying with them and reaching out in love, knowing that they are suffering just as we are suffering. In our scripture passage for today, Jesus asked for 3 of his closest people to be with him in his final moments of pain, his final moments of quiet before the storm. And so to turn that on its head, I wanted to invite you to reach out to 3 people this week. Reach out to 3 people that maybe you haven't spoken with yet since the world has turned upside down. 3 people that you know are longing for connection and companionship. 3 people that God puts on your heart that really need others and their compassion. I ask you to reach out to others, whether it's a phone call, sending a meal to be delivered to their home. If you have the capability to do a FaceTime or a Zoom conversation to see one another, or even sending just pictures. Find a way to reach out to 3 extra people this week and offer them compassion, knowing that they are suffering, they are enduring, and see how you can step up into your calling to be with them in that pain. Doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. Doesn't mean you have to solve all their problems, but how can you really be with 3 people this week and be a blessing on them? The story of humanity is a story of failure, a story of God's grace, and it's also a story of an end, a story of which death is always coming, and death comes to all of us. Death is not stopped. So even when we get through this Holy Week, even when we get through this quarantine, though, knowing that death is coming sooner or later, death comes at the end of Holy Week on the cross, a pain that we cannot completely ignore or bypass. But I encourage you to have hope and to have faith and know that at the end of this Holy Week time, at the end of this passion and this pain and this suffering, there is light and there is life and there is resurrection. And I invite you that while we are preparing for the storm and while we're in the midst of the storm, that you would be in prayer as Jesus was in prayer. You would reach out to others to be with them as his disciples were not able to do. And that you trust in God's guidance and God's love for you through this time of trial. Once again, I extend the peace of Jesus Christ to all of you who are near and far, but always close to my heart. And blessings on this Holy of Holy Weeks. Love to all of you. Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks, Pastor Heather. That was a powerful, timely, spirit-filled message. Thank you. We're at the end of our time of worship this morning. I do want to remind you that look for a mailing that has information, our schedule this week for Holy Week, Monday, Thursday, at home. It'll be a great time to reach out to three people. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Good Friday, Facebook Live. And I'm so excited because Easter is going to be here next week, and I don't know what's going to happen. And so I hope you're looking forward to it, and we'll be here again, Facebook Live, at 11 o'clock. It's time to conclude. Pastor Heather has given us our assignment for that this week. It's to pray. It's to connect with three other people. And then to trust and to find our hope in God. You know, it's the calm before the storm, and I think this will probably be the most unique Holy Week that we've ever experienced. Maybe more challenging than we could ever imagine. And yet, we'll face it with the courage, the hope of knowing that God will see us through. We've got a job to do. You've got a job to do. And with God's grace and power, you can do it. And so here, this benediction while we're in this season, go in peace, but don't go to pieces. And the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen. Thank you.